Why don't you ask the Savior to help you?
He will
comfort, strength, and keep you, for he is willing to aid you. He will carry you through.
Amen.
It is good for us to be here. Obviously, I'm not Brother Carter. He's a whole lot lighter and better looking. But Brother Carter, as you know, is going through things in his life right now. So he asked me if I would step in and bring the lesson to you. So before we do that, let us go to God in prayer. Most holy and precious Father, we come this morning thanking you for all the things that you have given unto us. Thank you for the strength of the limb and the clarity of our minds. We want to thank you. We want to thank you for your Son who died in blood on the cross so that we may have a chance at the tree of life. We want to thank you for allowing us to assemble here so we may learn more about your word and fellowship one with another. We want to thank you for all the things that you have blessed us with when you did not have to. We want to thank you for waking us up this morning when you did not have to. We want to thank you for all the strength that you give us when we are in our times of need. We want to thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us in your Son's name. Let us together say, Amen. Now, it was brought into your hearing as my sons read to you. We were talking about Genesis, the 4th chapter, the 3rd through the 9th verse. And I wish to focus on the 9th verse. Because there was a question that the Lord asked, and that Cain asked another question after it. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is thy Abel, thy brother? The Lord asked, what had happened to Abel? Now, the Lord already knew, but he wanted to see what Cain was going to say. And this is what Cain said, Am I my brother's keeper? That is the question I wish to pose to you today. Are you your brother's keeper? Because Cain showed callous indifference to what he had done to his brother. He was angry at God and jealous of his brother. And he took out that anger on his brother Abel. Why? Because he could not take out his anger on God. A lot of times we get angry at God and we take it out on those who are around us. This is what Cain did. Because Cain saw that his brother Abel had favor with the Lord and he did not. And that made Cain mad. So the question we have here is, I want to ask, are you, as a Christian, are you your brother's keeper? What is a keeper? Let's first define that. A keeper is someone in charge of other people. So therefore, as a Christian, are you a keeper of your brother's and sister's soul? We're going to answer that question. The first thing we're going to look at is Christ is our brother. Now, somebody goes, well, Christ is our Lord and Savior. But Christ is also our brother. If we look at Hebrews 2, 17 through 18, it says, Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. Christ decided to become one of us. He decided to become both human and divine. Why? So that he could experience the things that we experience. He could be tempted the way that we are tempted, so therefore he could better understand what we go through. That's why he came here. So he is our brother. Christ is our brother. How else do we know that Christ is our brother? Because we are the children of God. Well, where does it say that we are the children of God, Brother Burnside? Romans 8 and 16 says, The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Being the children of God, that means that we are brothers and sisters with Christ. We are brothers and sisters one to another. We are family. The church is God's family. So we see here, as family, what are we supposed to do to be our brother's keeper? The first thing we are supposed to do is love each other. John 13:34 through 35 tells us we are to love one another. What did Christ say? He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Ye also love one another. By this all men know that ye are my disciples if you love one another. So, the first step in being your brother's keeper is that we must love each other. Now, that can be a difficult proposition at times, because there are people who try our patience. There are people who try our love. But we are to be steadfast in our love one for another. We are not to hate us, our brother. We are not to hate us, our sister. But love. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. People know that we belong to Christ by the love we have for one another. That's how the outside world sees us. If the outside world sees us hating each other, then they're going to say that we're no different from them. And God said we are to be a peculiar people. And that's what he wants. Well, also in Romans 13, 8 through 10, it says the following. Owe no man anything but to do what? Love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So the primary thing that we as Christians must do is to love one another. Our continuing debt is to love one another. In doing so, we fulfill God's will. And that is what we are supposed to do. For that is the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep his commandments. We also find in 1 Peter 1 and 22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfringed love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. So not only do we have to love one another, we love one another unconditionally and with a pure heart. And in Galatians 6 and 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Now, you can't go outside to strangers and say that you love them and hate your brothers that are inside your household. There is something wrong with that picture. It says, especially unto them who are the household of faith. That is where we're supposed to start. If you're not treating your spiritual family right, how can you be expected to treat anybody else right? We are to love from the heart. We're not to pay lip service to each other, but we're supposed to pay special attention to those who are the household of faith. We also find in 1 John 3:11 through 15, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. He goes on to talk about Cain. Notice how the Bible refers back to other things here. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore he slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. John reminds us about Cain's crime. Christians are not to be like Cain with a heart of malice and envy. A brother and sister that hates another brother and sister is a murderer and has no hold on eternal life. We cannot say that we hate our brother and our sister and expect to see the kingdom of heaven. We are to receive one another. What do you mean receive one another? Romans 15 and 7 says the following, wherefore receive ye another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We have salvation, which is a gift from God. We accept that gift from God when we go into the watery grave of baptism. But that is a gift that we are to receive. Once a person goes into the watery grave of baptism, we are to receive him into the family. Just like a newborn babe that is born into a family, they are received into the family. That is the way Christ does us. So we are to do each other. We are to edify each other. What do you mean, edify? Let's look at Romans 14 and 9. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherein one may edify another. Now let's look at this word edify and see what it means. Edify means to instruct and improve in spiritual knowledge. So, what does that mean? Well, when we look at 2 Timothy 2 and 15, it says, study to show yourself an account. A workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we are to edify one another. That means we have to instruct one another. We are to teach one another. We are to come together and reason one with another. What else do we have to do to be our brother's keeper? We have to serve one another. Galatians 5 and 13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. What does that mean to serve one another? That means to help one another. That means to perform acts for one another. That means to edify one another, exhort one another. These are the things that we're supposed to do. We are supposed to be humble servants of the Lord. It also says in Ephesians 5 and 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We as Christians are to be willing to pitch in and help one another in times of need. We help one another to learn what thus saith the Lord. We help one another when no one else will. We are family. And a family does what? It does for family. We are to bear the burdens of our brother and our sister. What does it say there? Let's look in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore one such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. It says, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What did Christ say? Christ said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We are to bear the burdens of our brothers and our sisters. We may not be able to do everything for them, but we are to help them any way that we possibly can. We are to forgive one another. Now, this is tough for some of us out there. We are to forgive one another. Ephesians 4 and 32 tells us, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. If you do not forgive your brother and sister, how can you expect God to forgive you? God said, plain and simply, if you do not forgive your brother and sister, you will have no forgiveness from the Father. Christ is the mediator for us, but even Christ can't mediate if you don't let him. What else are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to exhort one another. Hebrews 3, 12 through 13 talks about that. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, what does this exhort mean? It means to urge by strong, stirring argument, admonition, advice, or appeal. If we see our brother and sister who are falling short of the glory of God, it is our duty to go and correct that situation. It is our duty to provide that strong and stirring argument that can lead them back to Christ. That is our duty, to exhort one another. We are not supposed to sugarcoat anything. If you see a brother and sister who is in need, who have fallen short of what thus saith the Lord, it is imperative on you to go and help correct them in meekness. No, that doesn't mean get up in their face and tell them what they were wrong. But go to them in meekness and point out what thus saith the Lord. It also says in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So therefore, we have a responsibility to exhort each other. We have a responsibility to be hospitable to one another. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10 tells us this. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Notice we are supposed to be hospitable one to another without grudging. We're not supposed to be grudging about it. So I invite Brother Jackson over to dinner, and Brother Jackson doesn't invite me. Well, I shouldn't expect that. If that's what you're expecting, you're doing something wrong. I'm supposed to be hospitable. Whether you are hospitable or not, that is contingent upon you. But I'm supposed to do what thus says the Lord. As Brother Carter says, I have to stand before the Lord myself. I can't stand for you. So I got to give account for myself. You have to give an account for yourself. Whether you're hospitable to me or not, I'm still going to be hospitable to you. It also says that every man hath received the gift, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're supposed to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We ought to look out for one another. James 5, 19 through 20 says the following. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which covereth the sinner from error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So we ought to look out for one another. No, in the final judgment, you're not going to be able to stand there for Brother Burnside, and Brother Burnside's not going to be able to stand there for you. But we can help each other get there. And that's what we're supposed to look out for one another. No one is going to get to heaven by themselves. And now I will bring this to a close. The answer to Cain's question is yes. We are our brothers and sisters' keeper. If we love and care for one another, then we are our brothers and sisters' keeper. If I have touched anyone in the audience's heart, those of you who wish to be baptized into the family, now is the time for you to come down and respond to the invitation. If you have gone astray and you have fallen short of the glory of God, now is the time for you to get right. How do we do that? Well, first you have to hear. How do we hear? Romans 10 and 17 tells us. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the first thing you have to do is hear the word. I hope that I have brought to you the word on being your brother's keeper. You ought to believe. Mark 16 and 16 says the following. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So you have to believe. You then have to repent of your sins. Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said to the multitude there, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then you have to confess. Romans 10 and 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then finally, you have to go into the watery grave of baptism. Acts 22 and 16 says the following. And now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, there are a lot of people who think that once you're baptized, once saved, always saved. I'm here to tell you that's a myth. You can return to the beck and elements of this world like a dog returning to his vomit. So there's not once saved, always saved. Then, well, if that's not the case, Brother Burnside, what do we do then? Well, then you have to continue in the faith. Revelations 2 and 10 says the following. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days, it says. But it says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So it says right here, be faithful unto what? To death. And I will give you the crown of life. So that once saved, always saved is a myth. If you are a member of the body and have strayed from the path, pray to God for forgiveness. 1 John 1 and 9 says the following. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then come and ask the church to pray for you. James 5 and 16 says the following. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If I have touched someone's heart out there, if you feel that you are in need of salvation, if you are in feel you are in need of correction, now is the time, now is the hour, as we together rise and sing the song of invitation.
The hymn is 421.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the faithful shore.